The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 18, Moksha Sannyasa Yoga, Yoga of Liberation to Renunciation. Something which is bound needs to be liberated. It seemed that I is bound by the limitations of my ego. So to liberate this I, you have to liberate it from the ego and its limitations. So if I can do that, if I can liberate myself from my ego, then I am a sannyasi. Because I have now renounced the sense of agency that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. If I can get rid of that sense, then I'll be free from the limitations of the ego. The ego has its own limitations. Those limitations impose sorrows and unhappiness on me. Therefore, I feel bound. I'm not free to do everything I want to do by the limitations of my ego. If I get rid of whatever is limited, then I'll be free. So one method is to get rid of the ego as the sense of doership and enjoyership, and I'll be free. It seems that's not available to me right now. So Bhagavan said there is another method, is by tyaga, by abandonment. The ego is bound in its actions. I do not have the infinite power of acting and achieving. And that's what creating this sense of limitations. So if I can give up the actions, then obviously I'll be free. That's my general conclusion. But then we've seen that actions cannot be given up by somebody who's embodied, somebody who's living in this body. Actions cannot be given up. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishtati akarmakrut. Even for a moment I cannot stand without actions. So actions cannot be given up. So my first idea that I can give up all the actions is not practical. The other wise people said, give up the actions which are desire-prompted, but do the yajna, dana, tapa, such actions which are elevating to your soul, that gives you a spiritual upliftment and fulfillment. Those actions should be performed. So then we have said, well, while I'm doing this tyaga of what considered my desire-prompted actions, I must be very clear what type of tyaga that is. So then we have seen the three types of tyaga. Tyaga, one which I have only given up the sense of what I'm going to get out of this, is a sattvic tyaga. I'm doing these actions because it need to be done, is a sattvic tyaga. I'm giving up this actions because it is too painful, then it's a rajasic tyaga. And I'm giving up actions because I do not know whether I'm supposed to be doing this anyway, tamasic tyaga. Even tyaga, be careful and evaluate what kind of tyaga you are doing, that it is not tamasic or rajasic. So the bottom line we have seen, it says, I should be giving sarva karma phalam. I should be giving up the fruits of actions. And rather than confusing with it, this is a good action, therefore I am giving up, and there is a bad action that I am giving up, renounce fruits of all actions. That way you are in a default situation. You are not bound by your judgment of whether this was desire-prompted action or this is my selfless actions. Why create that confusion for you? give up karma phala of all the actions. So that's the advice we have seen. This is the simplest and something which all of us can do at any given time. So if I'm worried about what's going to come out of this actions, well, I should remember the Bhagavad Gita says, give up your karma phala. I remind myself all the time when I'm competing with about 42 firms nationally. I always say, you know, I do my part and then I leave it to the guy who's going to evaluate my proposals again. Because that relieves me from that anxiety. It is for me that I'm giving up this karma phala. So we can practice that, Bhagavan said. Now, if I'm really a sincere seeker of liberation, freedom, then I should clearly understand what is binding me. So we have seen that what is binding me is the ego and my actions are binding me. If I'm free of my ego or my actions, I'll be free. So we need to understand what actions are all about. What do I consider action? Well, sometimes I do something and people don't consider it as action. Well, Neil, you had been working very hard, but there is no product. I may be thinking actions, but other people think that's not an action. So if I understand clearly what is action, it may be easier for me to now practice this art of tyaga. So then we have seen that action can only come in place or in existence if the five things are available. So the first thing is the body. You need a body to act. So this body is the hutment or the counter through which I'm transacting with this world, which I call actions. My transactions with this world I consider actions. Because what's happening inside my body, I never consider there's an action. I don't take credit for while I'm breathing. But right now, taken for granted, my breathing, my blood circulation, I don't congratulate myself and say, boy, I did very well last night. Blood was still circulating. I don't consider that an action. So that's not a problem. I never took credit for it. I never took any blame for it. Things go wrong, I run to the doctor. Something is not right. You fix it. You figure it out and you fix it. So I assign that to somebody else. But my transactions with the world, I take credit or blame for it. So those actions I do need to understand. So first thing, it requires a body. Without a body, I cannot act. The next I need is a motivation. Somebody who says, I will enjoy these actions or the fruits of this action. The ego. The enjoyer and the body comes together. Now it requires equipment. Equipment of perceptions, any one of the organs of actions. With that, I'm still not complete in my action if there are no natural elements available. Space, air, earth, if none of this is there, obviously action cannot take place. So Bhagavan said, for any action to take place, this five has to be present. Now, other four, I really don't have much confusion. Like the body, I understand. The sense organs, I understand. I do understand the organs of actions. And I do give credit to the elements. Mother, earth, air, sun. All of that, I really don't have a problem. My problem is who is the doer and who is the enjoyer? Who is that who says, I will enjoy if this happens? So normally I come to say, well, that's me. I, as the actor, will enjoy the fruits. Well, why are you taking this profit away from me? This is me. I worked hard. My actions, so the result should come to me. Now, who is that? They say, I, the self. Myself is the actor and the enjoyer. And Bhagavan says, that's where you have the misconception. So it says, tatra evam sati, having this being the case. What? Those five form the actions. And I am the actor. If that is the case, kartaram atmanam kevalam tu yaha. If I consider that myself alone is the actor. Now here, in this case, the self alone is defined as this self which is all pervading. Or putting it other way, it is unconditioned self, kevalam. It has no other superimposition on it. The self without any superimposition is alone is the actor. If I think, then pasyati akrat buddhitvat. I'm thinking that because of my untrained intellect. My intellect is yet not trained how to think about the self. So I'm thinking the self as nothing but this conditioned self. It is something similar to say the space in this room consider itself to be the self of this room. Well, we say, well, it is the same space as the universal space. So all the limitations of this space are the limitations of the universal space. If that's my equation, then obviously I'm wrong. The space in this room is nothing but the space outside, but the limitations of this space are nothing but the conditioning of this space. The conditioning belongs to the prakriti, the matter. This room is made up of walls, floor, and ceiling. Space makes the room what it is. And the last thing I require to perceive the space is my perception. All this coming together, the floors, walls, ceiling, the space, and my perception, room space is now created in my mind. Now in my perception, if I see this space in the room as the universal space, and all the limitations of this space are assigned to the universal space, then Bhagavan will say, you're a durbuddhi. Your intellect is not trained to perceive this space. Therefore, you are saying this is a universal space with limitations. So now I should say, the limitations do not belong to the space. They belong to the conditioning. Conditioning came from this world. Space being the universal, assuming space is all-pervading universal, has no limitations. It's infinite. But this space is finite, created by somebody like me who conceived this as 8 feet high ceiling and this wide and this long, and now I created the conditioning. Those conditioning belong to the prakriti, manifest nature, not to the unmanifest space. Bhagavan said, in the same way, the self which is having these limitations are because of the conditioning by the body, mind, and intellect. These limitations belong to the conditioning, and therefore the ego which superimposes all the conditioning on the self belongs to the prakriti, not to the self. All along I thought that myself, my ego, belongs to the self, the supreme self. It actually belongs to the prakriti. Because this ego only exists because of this conditioning. Your conditionings are removed, ego is no more. This walls, floor and ceiling is removed, there is no room space. Only space. The room is a conditioning. Myself as this individual is a conditioning and not the real self. So Bhagavan said, Tatra evam sati, having this being the case, one who considered the self is the doer is because of his intellect is not trained to see the self. If I see the wave as a wave, it is not the fault of the ocean. It is the fault of my perception, or it is the condition of my perception. Most of the times we have this argument about, you know, this Mahatmas also act like this, you know. Forget about all this Mahatmas. Even I have seen him doing this. And I have seen him getting angry. I have seen him. That's not really a fault of that Mahatma. It is my fault. I have a kakadrasti. You know what kakadrasti is? A crow flying over a beautiful garden. It does not see any flowers or all the beauty of the garden. But it sees the carcass or the dead body of something lying there. It only sees that. And it goes after that only. So it's called kakadrasti. I don't see any beauty around me. All I see is what is negative there. So that is the limitations of my ego and not of myself. Me seeing the limitations in me is just the conditioning. Bhagavan said, therefore, all the five of the karma's constituent parts belong to Prakriti and not to Purusha. Pasyati akrat buddhitvat. And why I'm seeing that way? Because my intellect was never trained to see what the self is all about. I always thought this limited being is me. This is me. This intellect is me. This mind is me. This is me having all these accomplishments and all these problems. That's untrained intellect. So I need to now train my intellect to see that. So pasyati durmatihi. Because his mind, the mati, is durmati, is polluted. Swamiji used the word perverted, but I said polluted. It's my polluted mind and my untrained intellect make me see that myself is doing all these things. All along, the actions are taking place in the world of Prakriti alone, not tainting the self at all. We learned before, guna guneshu vartantaha iti matva na sajjate. A person with a trained intellect will see all the actions being the qualities of my sense organs and sense perceptions acting with the qualities of the sense objects. And that's about it. I like music because my sense organs interacting with that sound. So Bhagavan said, but the self is not taking any part in that. However, no action is possible without the presence of the self. No room space is possible without the space, but the room space is not the universal space. Yashya na aham krutva bhavaha buddhi yashya na lipyade hatva apisa iman loka na hanti na nibadhyade. All along, what I was trying to liberate me from the results of my actions. I have done so many bad things in my life. If only people don't find out and ever have punished me for that, then I'm okay. All my actions are binding me from their good or bad results. If I can be free from all of that, then I'll be free. But right now, this burden of me being the doer and the enjoyer does not let me do that. I want to enjoy the fruits of my actions, which are good. I want to avoid the punishment for the bad actions which I have done. All Hindi serial has this atit. Aapka atit. Aapko. Suddenly somebody will show up, whatever, 20 years ago. And then the whole story starts for another 10 episodes, okay? Then that ends, then somebody's atit then comes back again. Then another 10 more episodes continue. And that's how this whole soap operas continues. They will just show up from nowhere. What happened? Then Mataji had this atit, you know. Then Pitaji would have his atit and second wife will come. This atit is actually following us. All that we have done, those memories and those vasanas, the tendencies we are carrying with us. And we can't leave them behind. Because as long as I consider myself a doer, every experience will have its impression. That impression is now becoming my mental channel. And more I think in that line, it becomes my tendencies. And I can't get rid of these tendencies. No matter how hard I try, but that's how I am. Can't change. That's my tendencies. More I identify with my mind and intellect, more the tendencies will become stronger and stronger. Yashya na aham kruta bhavaha. The first thing is, one who has given up that I am the enjoyer and the doer, that person is free. We have seen that's a sannyasi. He does not retain any memory of his actions as the tendency. Bhavaha buddhi yashya na lipyate. Whose buddhi is not tainted by this egoistic notions. So right now my buddhi, my intellect is tainted. That's why I see when things happening to me differently than happening to others. I can give a very good, nice advice when somebody brings their son to me and say, you know, Neil, you really need to help us out. He's doing well. Don't worry about this. When it comes to my son, nobody can advise me. It's only my worries. That's why I said that I have never learned why Bhagavan Shankaracharya wrote that Balaha Tavat Krida Saktaha, Tarunaha Tavat Taruni Saktaha, Vruddha Tavat Chinta Saktaha. I never understood that part. I understood Bala Tavat Krida Sakt. Child, I'm attached to play. Well, that's easy. Taruna Tavat Taruni Saktaha, very easy to understand. We have gone through that. Meena and I, that's how we met, right? But Vruddha Tavat Chinta Saktaha, why? I thought he should be free by that time. It's only in my old age I realize why. My sansar has grown so vast. When I was a little child or a young man, my sansar was limited to, can I get a good grade? If I get good grades, I'm fine. My sansar then keeps getting larger and larger and larger. And I'm so now vast now. My brothers and their kids and their kids and then my son and their kid. I think there is no end to it. So chinta, I will never be without chinta. The Buddha Tavat Chinta Sakta. That's because my buddhi says this is my sansar. If my buddhi is untainted, buddhi yasya nalipyade, then that's not my sansar, it's a part of this prakriti. Myself is completely beyond it. Hatva na iman lokan na hanti na nibadhyate. Such a person, whatever he does, he is not bound by that. Binding means the impression it is living on me. Every action which I do, if I do something good, I'll be keep patting myself. I really did well. I really helped him out. I really helped him out. Even that is creating an impression on me. Or I did something wrong, it has an impression. Those impressions are creating bondage for me. But a person whose buddhi is not tainted and who does not have aham kartru bhava, he does things and it ends right there. Action is done and ends. Right there, the book is closed on that action. There is no carry forward for that. Therefore, he is not bound by any action. Hatva api se iman lokan na hanti na nibadhyate. Obviously, we are talking about Arjuna here. Krishna is talking to Arjuna. He is worried about killing and who will be responsible. It's a such a person, even if he kills, he is not killing, nor is he bound by those actions. In other words, those actions will be muted. Those actions cannot mutate into more actions. It does not leave any impression to make you a good person or a bad person. It's just who you are. Jnanam gneyam parignata trivida karma chodanaha. We have talked about the actions. Its anatomy of the actions we have understood. That ego is essential part of it, but the ego is not the self. Now, so what are the propellers of these actions? We understood action. Okay, I understood action. Well, what makes me act? Well, so Bhagavan said, you should know that. Once you know that, you may be a better person. Jnanam gneyam parignatva trividaha karma chodanaha. These are the three propelling elements to make people act in this world. First is jnanam, the knowledge. Gneyam, what to be known. And parignata, the knower. Unless a knowledge takes place about an experience, there is no force to make me act. The first time I came to know Starbucks, Starbucks is the gneyam to be known. I did not know about it. Somebody says, Neil, try it out. Then I, the knower, has to go and experience it out and say, what is Starbucks? You know, it doesn't sound like even a coffee house, you know. He said, no, you try it out, Neil. So I go there and try it out. Now, the knowledge has taken place. Starbucks Mocha Grande is really good. The knowledge has taken place. So now it becomes the propeller of my next action. What is that passing by Starbucks? Mocha Grande or a cafe latte. Stop by. Propeller was the knowledge. Before that, I was passing by the Starbucks 30 times a day, but it never attracted me. Never made me do anything. That Starbucks sign with that mermaid in it or whatever means nothing to me. When the knowledge took place about what Starbucks is all about, it became the impetus for my action, which is to spend $5 for a coffee, which I could have bought at the time at 50 cents. Okay. Karanam karma karta iti trividha karma sangraha. How a karma is preserved. In a sense, it come into being. Karanam, karma, and karta. Equipment of action. I need to have a body, and the body also have to have money, and a $5, you know. I need to be available with $5 to go to the Starbucks. Karma. I also need to force myself to go to the Starbucks. I just thinking about Starbucks and having $5 in my pocket does not create coffee here for me. So I need to go to the Starbucks and order a coffee. Then that karma takes place and ene karta. I, the enjoyer of that grande mocha, has to be there. If I'm the enjoyer, not there, I'm in a deep sleep, then obviously the grande mocha can't do anything to me. But I, the enjoyer, is available. The equipment, the body, and my money in my pocket is available. And Starbucks is available. The action will take place, Bhagavan said. It all started from me knowing the Starbucks to me spending $5 for a coffee. So Bhagavan said, the propellers are the three, the jnanam, jnayam, parijnata, the knower, the knowledge, and to be known. And it propels you into action, which requires also the equipment, the enjoyer, and the action. And we will stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi. 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 Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.